Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world.
Bless you.
It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. It's your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
Who is so sweet and kind to offer a... Man, thank goodness for this on-off mic. You guys would have heard a loud sneeze right there, right then.
Well, and I didn't hear what you said before we went on.
Oh, yeah, of course,
because I had my headphones in, so I didn't know what you're...
I've had to do that maybe three or four times in my 20-some years in radio, where I'm about to sneeze right as I'm about to go on the air. The worst, back in my classic rock days, I was on the air live for a 7-hour stint or something like that, and I got the hiccups my first half an hour, and I couldn't shake them. So I'm turning the mic on and off. Like, you're going in between songs, so it's not as bad, but you're just in it. Classic rock. It's horrible. Horrible.
That would be bad.
We're going to get into some entertainment news to kick this hour off. We got the good stories and then a right stories coming up for you a little bit later. Right now, we do want to start off on a melancholy note as we say goodbye to the great Cindy Williams. Mm-hmm. Cindy passed away Wednesday, died last Wednesday after what her family calls a brief illness. She was 75. Her kids announced her passing yesterday. Cindy and Penny Marshall were a writing team working for Francis Ford Coppola for $30 a day when they were tapped to play a pair of fast girls who double date with Fonzie and Richie on a 1975 episode of Happy Days.
Huh.
Their characters were popular enough to get a spinoff, and Laverne and Shirley debuted at number one in 1976. It would last 8 wonderful seasons, but a contract dispute resulted in Shirley's being written out of the final season. Penny passed away in 2018. Before Laverne and Shirley, Cindy starred in 2 movies that would be nominated for Best Picture Oscars. George Lucas's American Graffiti in 1973, which she was great in, and Coppola's The Conversation in 1974. She also auditioned for Princess Leia in Star Wars, even though she knew Lucas wanted a younger actress. And she was, in fact, George Lucas, I believe, said she was the second or third option to Carrie Fisher.
Wow.
If Carrie Fisher didn't say yes to the role, it very well could have gone to where we would have Cindy Williams as Princess Leia.
Huh. Wow.
Cindy was married to entertainer Bill Hudson from 1982 to 2000, where they had 2 children. Bill was previously married to Goldie Hawn, and he's the father of her kids, Kate and Oliver Hudson.
Wow.
Michael McKean came out and had some really nice things to say about her, about working with her and everything. The tandem of Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams is one of the greatest in TV history. That's just my opinion, but it don't mean I'm wrong. You go back, you watch their chemistry, you watch the way those two work together, and you're not going to see much better. And I just want to play a little snippet from a foundational interview that was done back in the day on METV Legends with Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall talking about their first meeting.
Coconut Grove.
Well, we went there to the Coconut Grove.
We barely spoke to each other.
No.
Well, at the end with Little Richard.
Yeah, but we were at a table with people.
Yeah, I know. But, all right, it was, 1970-something.
Early.
And it was the Coconut Grove, and we were on double-dated, and Liza Minnelli was performing with Little Richard opening for her. And afterwards, we went
back, and Little Richard... You tell them, because I don't remember.
Well, in order to get to Liza Minnelli's dressing room, you had to go through, for some reason, Little Richard's dressing room. And Penny and I were walking together, and our dates were in front of us. And just as we came through Little Richard's dressing room, he sort of put his leg up like that, didn't he? And he stopped us, and he said, "You two, I want to bless you two."
And so she likes blessings. I don't care. Well,
ask Little Richard to bless us? He did. And so we both bowed our heads. Thank you. You did too. And Little Richard said this blessing over us. And we said amen. And then he took his leg down and we proceeded. And then years from then, we kind of said some of the success of the show was due to Little Richard's blessing.
Do you remember what he said?
You do. You said something's good going to happen or something.
Just God, I could listen to Penny Marshall talk all day. For first and foremost, I love her voice, love the way she talked and everything. But their chemistry, even years, decades later, yeah. You hear them in the interview finishing each other's sentences. Or what's really good, and you can't obviously get this in the audio medium, is the reactions that Penny Marshall has to one of her greatest friends. Like some of the things she's saying, they go on in the interview to talk about one time when they were in Europe, and every time Cindy says, and then there was this sweet little thing here, and there's Penny like, oh, just you know, rolling her eyes. You could see how much they loved and cared about each other, even decades later.
Yeah.
Great relationship. Wonderful actress, Cindy Williams. Very much going to be missed. Also, should be noted how rare it happens in TV, even to this day, to have a spinoff.
That was successful like theirs.
It really was one of the first successful spinoffs. And what imagine what it says about you and an actor. That you have that kind of chemistry, that kind of presence on screen. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest shows, if not the biggest show at the time, Happy Days. One of the biggest person in TV was Harry Winkler, Henry Winkler and the Fonz. Okay. And you stood out. You stood out among all of that and everything. Ron Howard had something great to say about her, of course, from Happy Days and everything. As a good actor. Good actor, Cindy Williams. We're 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl, so of course we're being bombarded by Super Bowl ads already.
Yeah.
And now, there's a lot of pushback on this. How dare they, or how silly this is, or a little bit of the, we're celebrating Christmas before Thanksgiving kind of thing. I'll say this. If I was a company and I spent the money they spend on these ads, I am playing this for the next 5 years. The next 5 years I'm playing this ad. I mean, how much money does these cost? I'm going to get darn right. I'm going to play it a couple.
Ridiculous amount of money.
I will say, if your idea is to surprise people or the big spoof, then yeah, you know, maybe not doing the releasing it before the Super Bowl, where you're not going to have as many eyeballs. You know, I kind of get that. But if you're like Miller or somebody that advertises every year during the Super Bowl, well, what's the harm in releasing it a little early? Get your money's worth, you know.
You're just going to get more views then. You're going to get the views before, and you're still going to get all the ones you would get at the Super Bowl anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, actually. And with the amount of ways that we take in content nowadays, you're watching YouTube and the Super Bowl ad pops up. That may be the time you see it.
Right.
During the Super Bowl, I don't know about most of you out there. I love the commercials, but I'm bopping around. I'm talking about the game, or I'm going to the bathroom, or getting snacks, or something like that. Yeah. So
you're glued into the action. The commercial time is time to do other things.
Yeah. So especially if I have a risk of people not being able to see my ad, and I just spent, let me see here, more than $5.6 million on a commercial. Jeepers. On 30 seconds.
Wow.
that's
insane.
It really is. Bush Light released a Super Bowl ad 2 weeks early. It features Sarah McLachlan mistakenly thinking she's in one of her ASPCA ads for homeless pets. Well done, Bush. Well done, Sarah,
too. Well done, Sarah.
Yes, well done. Well done. Very nicely done. I can't wait. I haven't seen that yet.
Hilarious.
That's a great idea. That's a good one. Meanwhile, Crown Royal has enlisted Dave Grohl for its Super Bowl campaign, but at least the only released two teasers, not the actual ad. In one, he's sitting in the studio reading off a list of seemingly unrelated things, including Hawaiian pizza, an egg carton, an electric wheelchair. In the second one, he's standing in front of a microwave saying, "Thank you," over and over. We'll see what that one's about. There are a couple of other ones out there right now too, but this is a different angle on this. The Bush Light ad with the Sarah McLachlan thing, that's so good I wouldn't be able to sit on it. I get that out there. We get that out there right away, especially in advertising.
Yeah,
where. Like I talk about our sales staff, and you hear me say best in the business, most creative, all those things. I don't just say it to brown nose them. Like, I don't have to do that.
No.
We already get along and everything. I say it because I genuinely believe that, and I'm so blown away by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly difficult to come up with a new ad campaign.
Yeah.
A new commercial. When I was a copywriter, the first early frustration I learned is this from a client. Can you give me something new and edgy? But I don't want to be offensive, and I want a little traditional. Yeah, could you do the, and I need it by 4 o'clock today? Like, oh, right. Yeah, and yet they do this. They flip it around all the time. Thousands of people around the world do this all the time. And then we wonder when we see a commercial, we're like, that sucks. What do you got? What are you coming up with, man? You know, I mean, it's not an easy gig. It's hard. You come up with something that good, like, I wouldn't be able to sit on it. I'd be like, oh, get that out there right away.
That might be the only Super Bowl ad I watch.
They've got it up here, and I'm going to wait to watch it. I want to enjoy it. I want to sit back. I got to see what that's like. I feel like we could watch it, but we just wouldn't be able to do it justice. We wouldn't be able to visually, audio-wise, get the visual across or anything.
Mm-mm.
Well, that is pretty good. And, of course, there will be many, many more of these coming up, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Lots of money spent on those ads.
If I asked you, Melissa, who the highest grossing tour artist of all time was, you know, most successful, most money raised touring and all that, I'm not trying to press you or put you on the spot with it, but if there's any names that pop in your head right away or anything.
Rolling Stones?
Okay, that's a good one. Actually, one of the first ones I would have thought of, too. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's a good one. Actually, yeah, I probably would have said the Rolling Stones, to be honest with you.
Well, because they're still touring.
I mean, they're still touring. They're literally collecting Social Security.
Yeah.
And touring. And more power to them.
Keep it up, guys.
And they aren't alone. Sir Elton John, I should say, doing a very similar thing. And Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Tour is the highest grossing tour of all time.
Wow.
It's grossed $817.9 million across 278 shows so far. And it's not even over until July.
Whew.
Number two is Ed Sheeran's The Divide Tour. That raised $776 million, followed by U2's 360 Tour, which had $736 million.
Yikes.
And Ticketmaster got all of it. No. Pretty close. Pretty close. Mm. I'm happy for Sir Elton here.
Yeah.
I'm curious about another part of this, too. And I bring up the Ticketmaster thing in part because of the Taylor Swift issue and all that came out. And it's kind of nice to see people finally starting to care about that stuff.
Yes.
It's also, where were you 30 years ago? Like, I literally remember a senior in high school and Pearl Jam fighting against Ticketmaster and all that. And having no support, no help. But Taylor Swift, they'll help? Like that... I mean, come on. Why we let these things drag on and everything, and then we wonder why. Oh, a conglomerate was greedy? Yeah! Yeah, they all are. And if you let them get away with it, of course they're going to keep being greedy. Right? What, we're working on the honor system here with corporations?
Well, that speaks to the ability of people making change. Because it's the people, the fans, that really were outraged over it.
Well, that's a strong point to make, because as big and as popular as grunge and Pearl Jam was and everything, it pales in comparison
to the
Swifties
number of fans,
and all that and everything like that. But not that I want to offend any Taylor Swift fans out there. They come after you. I've had it happen. They come after you, and it's not pretty. But I think this is really cool, but I also think there's a... Just again, doing a little digging on this one and stuff, and the average age of people that go to these concerts and the other ones that I mentioned, U2 and Ed Sheeran. Mm-hmm. And Ed Sheeran, the age range dipped down a little bit, but your average age, as you would expect, are older people going to these concerts. Are they the only ones with accessible income?
Right.
To be able to go to concerts,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. That's one of those things that I was just digging on, and it does look like that there is some, you know, fact to that. I don't say it complete fact. But there are some things where A to B, C, you know, that they kind of tie together. It's interesting to me, especially when you have this pushback finally to Ticketmaster and this conglomerate that they have had.
Yes.
Monopoly that they have had, I should say.
Well, because that was my first question when you're reading off these figures of how much money these tours have grossed. Who's getting that money?
Yep.
Where's all that money going?
Because we know darn sure the artist isn't getting the majority of it.
No.
Why Ticketmaster does. Do they deserve a paycheck? Yeah.
Yeah.
What they do is not easy. It's not an easy job to configure these things and stuff. They definitely deserve a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
But the piece that they're taking should not be bigger than the actual entertainment. Because, it's tough to set up a schedule and to set up a show and everything.
But you can't do that without the artist.
This is no chicken before the egg situation, everybody. There is only the chicken. It is the artist. You have nothing without the artist.
Right.
The artist can go perform on the side of the street. And are they going to be seen by as many people? No. But
no.
They're still going to keep playing. The artist will always perform.
And they would get 100% of the profits.
That yes. That building going to stay empty. Like that building, you're not going to be able to fill that building with a lot of different things. Look at some of these arenas we've got around here. Outside of a sporting event, you've only got a sporting event or a music act. And if I run Yankee Stadium, if I run Wrigley Field or any of these places, I need that money. Mm-hmm. I need the money that I can bring in with a music act when my teams aren't playing and everything.
Right.
The Ticketmaster shouldn't be taken from them either. Like it's ridiculous. They don't even own a building or anything like that. They're just the middleman. And the middleman's making more than anybody else. Like, that's ridiculous. That's a messed up system.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty cool to see, because I wouldn't have expected. I would have said the Rolling Stones. Otherwise, BTS, the K-pop band?
Oh.
Something like that, I think.
Okay.
I would have expected maybe one of them, maybe up here.
And they didn't even make the top.
No. I think that's pretty impressive. And it says something about the staying power of these bands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big U2 guy, but I think it's impressive that they're up there. And I like Elton John, and I think it's pretty darn cool that the Piano Man, or not the Piano Man, but the Mr. Yellow Brick Road is still that big. Elton toured with Billy Joel. I got that stuck in my head for a second there. That is pretty interesting.
Well, and Ed Sheeran hasn't been around all that long, has he?
No. And again, a great artist that, good to see him up there too, because especially as a solo artist and not a guy with a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't go out there and do a dance number for you. He kind of is just what you see is what you get kind of thing, and still huge. I have heard people that have seen him in concert say that he has such a great showman, does such a great job with the audience.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that says a lot then for his staying power going forward.
We will take a break and we'll go forward, and we'll come back with the top things pets like to watch on TV. It's coming up on Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. And for a long time, I want to say, going back to my first days here at WFHR, I have talked about this. Usually it was on Over the Back Fence.
Mm-hmm.
About starting a complete radio station completely designed for animals. Animal radio.
Okay.
Just squeaky noises for dogs, and there's all kinds of different things. Unsurprisingly to many people out there, I have not gotten a whole lot of investors for this one.
Not a lot of people want to invest.
Probably should stop going to animals for the investment money. I that's not a good smart move on my part. Every one of them look at me the same. Like, I don't speak English. I
offer
don't know
you kibble.
Yes, they offer me kibble. Yes. Super Bowl Sunday is less than 2 weeks out, and it's a big day for football fans, including your cat. Huh?
What?
Someone polled 2,000 pet owners, and 83% claim that their dog or cat has a favorite sport that they like to watch.
Really?
Football was number one with 40% of the vote. The top five sports pets like to watch are football, soccer, basketball, baseball, and golf. Bowling ranked last, followed by NASCAR. 68% of people in the poll describe themselves as sports fans, but 80% think that their pet might even be a bigger sports fan than them.
Hmm.
26% also think their pet is a lucky charm when it comes to helping their team win. Sports aren't the only thing cats and dogs like to watch, though. 69% said that their pets like watching TV with them in general. And the other things pets like watching are cartoons, nature shows, movies, and stand-up comedy. I like the idea of my dog watching stand-up comedy. That's good.
So all those sports they listed, NASCAR is the least favorite. There's no ball in NASCAR.
True.
And in bowling, the ball just rolls down the aisle typically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a pretty straightforward progression, whereas in all of those other sports, the ball moves around the screen.
That's a good point. I've noticed, not with Sammy, this dog, but the first dog I really spent a lot of time around, Gonzo, and everything. When I'd have tennis on the TV, Gonzo would flip and start paying attention to the TV. Almost anything else, he wouldn't. Not any other sport, almost no other thing. But back then, we had a satellite TV, and they just started this dog TV channel,
mm-hmm.
and which is really, spoiler alert, where I got the joke about the dog radio. and that channel, like, we didn't pay attention to it too much, but every once in a while they'd have like a ball bouncing on the screen, and mm-hmm. that's what he would pay attention to. So I think you're actually, you got a good point there, actually. I'm a little confused, though, because I would think we've all seen dogs chase cars. You would think dogs would love NASCAR. They're just going in circles.
Yeah, but they're not going past them.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, that must be what it is. And at the same time, all of this is funny and everything, but you do realize dogs can't see the TV that well. Like, they're visual.
Not the same way that we can.
They don't see colors. They don't see things the way we do, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of fun and stuff, and I know it seems interesting, and I love more than anybody bonding with my fur brother and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that he really can tell what's on the TV. Now, can he hear what's on the TV? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He can hear it better than I can.
Well, and I wonder if stand-up comedy, if they like that more than other television shows besides sports, because that's most like the sounds that are on sports shows, the sounds of the crowd, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that maybe not a lot of people think about or notice or pay attention to, and I understand why they wouldn't, is how much animals love human laughter. They love laughter. They mm-hmm. love it. They come running in the room when you're laughing. They come. They enjoy, you know, good harmony. They love positivity. They pick up on those things.
Yeah.
You wonder why you're having a grumpy day. You're sad, and your dog comes up to you, or the cat actually touches you when it never will, because they pick up on those things. Mm-hmm. They're empathetic. They're little furry empathy, you know, things, and they want to be around that, just like they want to be around laughter and that stuff. So, hearing wise, I do think that there's something to be said about this with TV and radio and all that. But as far as the visual goes, I don't know. I don't know how much we are putting our own, you know, projecting.
Personification.
Yeah,
of animals.
We're projecting a little bit on that one. I'm not sure. Because I also have never been a dog or a cat or anything else. And so I don't pretend to know exactly what's going through their minds or heads or anything like that.
But, you know, that makes me think, like, if they did television for dogs or cats, if they did it in a way that they visually would enjoy the most.
Yeah.
What that would look like to us.
Yeah, this was so long. Yeah, it would be funny to see. It was so long ago, but I do remember bits and pieces of that dog TV, and it really did feel like what humans feel like dogs would want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we can't necessarily ask a dog, but we have surveys all the time where there's no audio communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I see something, I like it, you see me panting or my tail wagging. Dogs don't have a poker face. They're pretty, they're pretty honest. They like something, they tell you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that. Like, oh, the dog liked this. Oh, the dog didn't like this. You know, that kind of thing. It should just be a mailman. Just delivering mail nonstop. That's all that it is. Like, or maybe that's a good, like, half an hour, show.
Yeah, it was show. The mailman show.
The mailman show. Yeah, it's just a mailman.
Mail's
just delivering
here.
Mail. Yeah, it's just that sound. And then, mail time. Oh, Blue is close. This does help me segue perfectly into our pet of the week. And that'll be with us this Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, right in this time slot. And this coming Thursday, as it's been every Thursday in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Want to send a big shout out to our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society, Madison and the gang over there. Good morning to them. Hope you guys are staying warm. And a huge shout out to our sponsor this week, Club Forest Bar and Restaurants.
Yeah.
Great people over there. Great spot. If you haven't been there in a while, or you haven't been there just yesterday, get on over there today. Get on over there. Great stuff. Serving char-grilled burgers, specialty sandwiches, and pizzas. Great for the whole family.
Mm.
Great establishment for a long, long time. And they've been supporting the Humane Society for a long time as well.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Head on over to Club Forest Bar and Restaurant. It's a good place. Go check that out. We will also encourage you to reach out to our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. If you're looking for a furry friend especially, but also if you can, you know, maybe help out a little bit. It is cat season.
Yeah.
They can always use cat food if you got extra cat food. Maybe you got an extra hour or two that you could help out, maybe with some of the animals or something like that. We encourage you to reach out to them at 715-423-0505, 423-0505, or email them swchs@swchs.com. You can find them more at their website, swchs.com. And if you want to be like Club Forest and Cotton Thimble and so many of the other sponsors we've already had for the Pet of the Week, we're always looking for more sponsors for this segment.
Absolutely. Just contact our sales department. Pam will put you right in touch. Tell them that number, James.
424-1300.
Right on.
Call up and give him a call. Give him a conversation. Be a part of the team around here. You will not be disappointed. We're technically only have to talk about them on Thursday. That is not how we do things around here. We no. love supporting our local businesses and mentioning them whenever we have an excuse to or a chance to
and
or a segue.
And appreciate the wonderful things that they bring to our community.
Mm-hmm. Take a listen to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun with some That Ain't Right stories coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
If it seems like been lost and let's remember. You think I'm feeling older and missing my younger days? Oh, then you should have known me much better. 'Cause my past is something that never got in my way.
I know it. I know it's Billy Joel. I just can't place the name of the song. Okay. It's driving me nuts.
I didn't even know that much.
I'm 99% sure it's Billy Joel. I just can't place the name of the song. Dang it. It's going to bug me. A big shout out to our head of production, Seth Habhager. Nice work with those. He keeps adding bumpers. He keeps giving himself work. That's what he's doing. Yeah. He's giving himself more and more work.
Keeping us guessing.
Appreciate you, Seth. Nice work. Seth will be joining Melissa and I tomorrow on the morning show. Looking forward to having the gang back together.
Yeah, a little bit.
Love it. We don't get to do this very often, but every Tuesday when Melissa and I get together and we can fit it into the show, we got weird, random, fun facts.
Okay.
We're going to dive through. So let's get into some of these. Most microwaves sold in the U.S. are made by a single Chinese company.
Really?
Midea. They provide microwaves for Toshiba, Comfy, Black & Decker, GE, Whirlpool, Breville, Insignia, and more. LG and Samsung make their own microwaves, as does Panasonic. But Panasonic does have budget models made by Midea, and it's been that way for a long time.
Huh.
Interesting.
I did not know that. But the last time I had to buy a microwave, I was astonished at how expensive they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had to buy one. I feel like they've always been handed down to me. Like, I feel like when my parents and my grandparents bought a new one, I just took theirs, and that's all I've ever done. Because I don't, in part because I use an oven more than a microwave, so I guess that may be in a little better part of it. But, I imagine... That actually is really disappointing because it seems like everything has gone down, but the microwaves.
Well, at least the one I had to buy.
Sure. Yeah. The first American sitcom shown in China was Growing Pains.
Really?
Huh. Hmm. Well, no wonder they don't like American TV. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. M&M's are named after their two founders, Forrest Mars and Bruce Murray. But they would end up hating each other, and Mars bought out Murray's shares after 8 years.
Wow. And they still called them M&Ms.
Yeah. You dislike somebody that much, but you chose again how big money is. Wow. That much hate, but you don't hate them enough to change the name of your company.
But I suppose that it would be kind of hard. I mean, it is the Mars company, but the candy M&M. After 8 years, it must have just built such a big following that they couldn't chance changing it.
This happens to bands all the time. Hootie and the Blowfish, Korn, like there's a lot of great Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's a lot of great examples of, well, we got to call ourselves something. I don't know. Hootie and the Blowfish. I got a friend Hootie. I have another friend I call Blowfish. Let's go ahead and call ourselves that. What's the worst it could do? And they start getting a little bit of following, and they're known as that band, and you can't change your band name if you're just beginning a following, and before you know it, you got a record deal, then everybody in the world is calling you Hootie, even though your name is Darius. it happens. It's one of those things. It's kind of an interesting, I don't know what the perfect scenario for something like that is, but I always find it interesting when I hear an artist say something about that. And it happens more times than not, I would say. The entire province of Alberta, Canada, has been rat-free for 70 years.
Wow.
The government there decided to get rid of rats around World War II, and they still have a pest control crew on border to prevent any from coming in.
That's crazy.
Wow. Wow, that really is impressive. Red states and blue states have only been that way since 2000. Before that, the Republicans were generally blue and the Democrats were red. And I find that absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious.
That is one of the funniest random facts we will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Burn, we bleed red, we bleed blue, all this stuff and everything. But only since 2000. what? Come on. It just speaks to how silly this stuff is.
Well, and then the fact that the Republican and the Democrat Party have basically switched since the time of Abraham Lincoln.
Right, right. Lincoln would not even come close to recognizing the Republican Party right now, and he would not recognize the Democratic Party either.
Well, no, but he was far more of what we would refer to as a Democrat now than
what
they did then.
But it would blow his mind. It would blow his mind to see that flip, that change and everything. And again, if this doesn't tell you how much alike we are, how much more we have in common than we don't,
mm-hmm.
and how silly and downright silly and childish it is to get bent out of shape at each other over our political differences.
They're not sporting teams.
No. Quit acting like that are your sport. Quit acting like it's the Packers that you're rooting for. Like, it's not.
No.
It's not. You actually have more like control over this than you do the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something you should be getting. It's not something you get into just for a couple months a year and everything like that.
No.
It's something that is carrying 24/7 and shouldn't be used as a flag that you fly around like a sports team.
No, we need what we have in local government on the big scale, because every politician that I have met on a local level, they are neither Democrat or Republican. Yeah, they maybe have an R or a D in front of their name, but they want to work with people on both sides. They want what is best for people. That's what politics is supposed to be about.
We got Scott Krug coming in this week. And Scott, like Senator Testen, like Katrina Shanklin, like the representatives that we've been fortunate enough to spend time with and be joined by on Morning Magazine, all purple people. Like, they won't say that themselves, and I understand why they won't, because they have a party and constituents to go to. But I'm going to say that. I'm going to call them that. I have no problem saying that. And that's good, because, for one, that's Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a purple state. And also, we're a purple country.
Yeah.
This idea of this is a red state, this is a blue state. For one, this stuff is ridiculous.
Go back to 2000.
Yeah, we did. I mean, if that doesn't tell you right there. But also, how much we have in common, how much more alike we are. And the only reason we think of each other as different is because of these people that want to separate us. And I'm not saying that's every politician. Those names I just mentioned there, I don't believe that those people are trying to separate us.
No, but let's talk about the dark money that's being poured into politics with Citizens United.
Yeah. Yeah. I could spend 2 days on that subject.
Well, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it leading up to the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin, because the eyes of the nation are on our state again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens a lot, but it's happening again. And the amount of money that's going to be spent on this, it's being projected to exceed any race for Supreme Court here in Wisconsin and possibly nationally.
Yeah. That tells you a lot right there. We have to talk about it.
We have more things that are more important to spend money on than TV ads of us hate.
How's our water doing? You know, I mean, I just bring that up, let alone child care or health care or mental health or any of these other subjects. Infrastructure.
Or money for our EMS or our police or our fire services.
Our farmers, our ag industry, our teachers. I mean, there's a lot more to be spending on than some political ad that is horrible, by the way.
Yeah, they're all awful.
When's the last good political ad you saw? When's the last ad you saw, whether it was from a candidate or not, that you came out of that ad and you're like, wow, well, that changed my vote? Never. It's never happened. If you think it has, you're lying to yourself. No political ad has ever changed anybody's opinion. I firmly believe that. 100% I believe that.
100% agree with you. There was one that made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's different. That's
and that
different.
Didn't change my vote, but it made me laugh. Like, in a positive way. Not like I'm going to laugh at this because it's so dumb. It was actually funny. I think we need more funny political ads.
I would love to see some more of that.
Wouldn't that be great?
Quit taking it so dang serious. And that's coming from me, literally the most serious person in the planet.
And yes, we're dealing with serious issues, and there's a lot of seriousness to talk about, but they're extorting that and then not doing anything about it.
What kind of doctor do you prefer? Do you prefer the doctor that's going to talk to you in just nuts and bolts and details and not say anything? Or do you prefer the doctor that's got a little bit of a bedside manner?
Personality.
A little personality, a little funny, a little light.
I don't need an AI as a doctor?
They can do both. They can do a good doctor can do both, can give you that serious, heavy news that you need to continue your healthy life and everything, and also kind of goof around with you a little bit, joke a little bit about
person.
The, you know, how ridiculous it is that we're having this conversation and your butt's hanging out. Like, I mean, like good doctors can do that. Good politicians can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to let them do that, too. We've got to be accepting of that. We've got to take in people like that and show them that's what we want. Most politicians are not that different than your TV channels. I don't like, there's nothing on TV, I don't like this, but they're only putting on what's doing well ratings-wise. Mm-hmm. They're not putting it on because they want to. This is, hey, this is where the audience has spoken, they want this show, we're going to put it on this time slot or something. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to politics. What do people care about? Okay, oh, let's talk about that. Well, let's talk about this. This seems to be the big, you know, poll and stuff. I'm not saying that's all of it, especially during a political season where they have their talking points and those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the job is do what we tell you to do. That's the job. Yep. Not think for yourself. Not even that. Not necessarily, I shouldn't say thinking for yourself, thinking what other people are telling you to think. Like, as far as the people and money in your pocket or whatever.
Right. No, you should be listening to the American people in your constituency saying, this is what we need. We want clean water. We want health care. We want child care.
Couple more random facts for you. This is very fascinating. The fate of the Mayflower is unknown, but some historians believe it was scrapped for its timber, then used to construct a barn in Jordan, England.
A barn?
That's interesting.
That's pretty interesting. Fascinating.
I don't think I've really thought about what happened to the ships.
Yeah.
Huh. And it's kind of weird when you think about it. Like, if they had stuck around, you know, we'd be, you know, they'd be a tourist attraction.
Be in a museum somewhere.
Yeah, or something like that.
Or, I mean, a lot of times they're found on the bottoms of the ocean, or, you know, they uncover them in different areas.
Fascinating.
But yeah, thinking about where would that, did that timber go?
If that is what happened, that it turned into a barn in Jordan's England, imagine like some of that wood. Like, I can't imagine what, oh, that's so cool to me. Hmm. The part of raw cookie dough that makes it dangerous to eat isn't just the eggs, it's the flour, too.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The raw flour can come into contact with bacteria when it's out in the field, and pasteurized raw eggs are actually safer. Wow. Fruit snacks, which are great and
amazing.
Wonderful. We've all eaten many of them. Mm-hmm. Well, fruit snacks are covered in the same wax as cars. Ooh, boy. So. Ooh. That hit deep. That hit deep right there.
Well, your car is covered with an edible wax.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe
go.
That should
there
make you feel better.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a way to flip it. I like that. George Lucas originally wanted Tom Selleck to play Indiana Jones.
Oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, but Selleck was already committed to Magnum P.I.
Thank goodness.
There was also, and there's no real fact on this, it's just kind of like, you know, Hollywood hype, but there is a lot of rumors that went on for many years that actually Tom Selleck was willing to do the role, but he couldn't contractually, Magnum P.I. people wouldn't let him shave his mustache.
Oh.
So he couldn't do the role. Mm-hmm. Imagine losing out on the Indiana Jones role.
Because of a mustache.
Wow, that's that like just as an actor that hurt. Like I don't think Tom hasn't been hurt by this that much. He's had a very good career.
Well, he's a very good career, but
he wouldn't. I don't think I don't think that movie is successful. I think Tom Selleck's a very good actor, but I don't think he can nail Indiana Jones like Harrison Ford
did. No, I and not with her. The not with the long running. Then you know
I can't. It was hard, and I loved River Phoenix. He was one of my favorite actors of all time. There's the movie where River Phoenix plays a young Indiana Jones. That was even a little hard for me to kind of wrap because he didn't look much like Harrison Ford at all or anything like that. And it's Harrison Ford. Like, that's Indiana Jones. No, that's it. End of sentence.
You know, not that the movies, I love those movies. Mm. Do they hold up? And there are some areas where it's like...
Not so much. No. Yeah, a little
but,
cringy.
Yeah, but, you know, it would have been worse with Tom Selleck.
I will say, though, one of the greatest action scenes of all time, completely improvised by Harrison Ford. The whole guy comes out with the swinging the sword and all that, doing all these cool moves, and then Harrison just pulls out his gun and just pop. My whole life, I'd been waiting for somebody to do that in an action movie, and then, you know, finally... There's a vault in Denmark under LEGO's headquarters that holds a copy of every LEGO set ever made.
Really?
I want to go play in that vault.
I bet that's got to be a huge vault.
I can't imagine.
There's a lot of Legos.
And whatever you do, if you do get a chance to go there, wear shoes. Wear shoes, because you don't want to step in that vault. It's just everywhere. There's this loose Legos everywhere.
And you need, serious shoes.
Yeah, really.
Can you imagine the person that has to go down there and add the new ones?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's an interesting
peruse through the...
Hey, Bill, I got no room on the third floor here. where are we going here with these? I got another one of these Lego sets.
There's no space on the shelf.
There's no space.
And are they not... They're probably not constructed. They're probably fresh in the box.
When I was a kid, I thought one of the better inventions would be to make the bottom of shoes like Legos. So that, or when you step on them and stuff like that, it wouldn't
just
hurt.
It joins in.
But then they join in, and then you've got big platform shoes you're walking on and everything. So that wouldn't work. That wasn't a good idea. I don't know what I was thinking back then.
Wow. You're an inventive kid. It's cool.
I'm a little more inventive than this lady. I don't know what she was thinking. Our feature, That Ain't Right story today. Elderly suburban high school cafeteria workers may seem harmless, but some are capable of high-stakes avian thievery. 66-year-old Vera Lindell was the food service director at a school district in Illinois, but she was arrested for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of chicken wings.
There's a part of me that's this is wrong and you should not do this, especially stealing from schools.
Well, yes.
That's really dark.
That's a lot.
The mischievous part of me, though, is a little impressed. Is a little impressed by that.
What did she do with it?
She'd been working there for at least a decade, but during the pandemic, she started over-ordering chicken and picking it up herself in a district cargo van, and the extra chicken was never brought back to the school. Over the past couple of years, she stole a lot of chicken, and she ended up being caught because she overlooked one thing she was ordering. She was ordering massive amounts of chicken wings, but the school never served wings to the students because they contained bones.
Oh.
It's unclear what Vera was actually doing with all those chicken wings. She's currently being held on a $1,500 bond. That ain't right.
No, because more than likely she was selling it.
Yeah.
Because what else could you do with all that chicken? She didn't have a freezer vault in her basement.
I cannot help the comedian in me, cannot help, though, the idea of Vera, weighing 9,000 pounds.
All the chicken.
Everybody, why are you gaining all this weight and everything? I don't know why. anything new in your diet?
We can't talk about that.
I am a little blown away by that one. It just seems like... the only other thing I could think of worse than that is stealing from a church or something. There's certain things you would think that would morally, even you couldn't go to this level or something like that. I'm no saint by any means. and not even close.
But you wouldn't steal from a church
or a
school?
Even I've got to, look, all right, I'm not doing that. there's certain things.
Well, that's good.
I'm
glad you draw the line somewhere, James.
Come on. Geez, what are we doing here? That's rough. But also... Don't pay these people a lot. Not saying that okays obviously any of this or anything, but it does. Any chance to bring up that we could be paying our teachers and our, not just our teachers, but our custodians and our, school cafeteria workers and that, we could always be paying them better.
Yes.
Getting to some good stories of the day. YouTuber star Jimmy Donaldson, a.k.a. Mr. Beast, is making waves for all the right reasons. He helped 1,000 people see again by getting them cataract surgery.
Wow.
That's incredible. He started with 40 people at homeless shelters and free clinics in Florida. Then a group helped him find more than 950 legally blind people all over the world who couldn't afford the surgery, which only takes 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
The surgery only takes 10 minutes. That's interesting.
Wow.
His video is great, especially the reactions when people see for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't really even get into talking about it too much because it just gets me. But some got more than just a surgery. He also surprised a few of them with $10,000. One kid got $50,000 for college. And a guy who's never been able to drive got the surgery and then a brand new Tesla.
Whoa.
I don't know where this guy's got this money or whatever, but
he must be some YouTube star. I've never heard of him, but he's doing all right, apparently.
So I was watching YouTube, and one of his commercials, he has a commercial for some of this came on. And that's the only reason I know who he is I saw the commercial. I'm like, oh, who's this guy and stuff? And then I saw some bits of this article and just blown away.
Wow.
Way to go, Mr. Beast.
That's good. That's what people that make excessive amounts of money should be doing.
Yeah. I agree. I don't like telling people what to do with their money, but I know that's what I'd be doing with it. Two 12-year-olds in Massachusetts were hiking last Wednesday and found a grenade in a pile of trash.
Oh, my.
So they took it to took a picture, remembered where they were, and went to get an adult. The town's chief of police called them wicked smart for how they handled it. It turned out it was a real grenade but wasn't live, thank God. But wicked smart by those kids over there. Yeah. Nice job, kids.
Not touching it. Good job.
A small-town hardware store in Kentucky is getting national exposure thanks to the owner's weird sense of humor. It's called J-Town Hardware in the Louisville suburb of Jeffersontown. He used to work there as a teenager and now owns it. Back then, he started putting silly lines on the sign out front, things like, Elvis buys his paint here, or carpet cleaners remove blood. Now he owns the place and installed a digital sign so we can go wild with
it. Oh, my.
We got a couple places around here. You know, our friends at QP Printing like having
Quality
fun
Plus,
with their
they
signs.
They have fun with their signs.
You know, Misty's has done this before. Mm-hmm. I think of, though, the place, like, they do stuff with bulls. I'll leave it at that. But the ABS, I think it's called or something, you see it right before you get to Madison, leaving from here to Madison. You cross it, and they've got a sign out.
Okay.
And it's always some pun or some, like, really dark humor or a little bit of, like, above 17 humor or something. Just very well done. Nicely done. A guy from New York found out his wrecked car helped a family escape the war in Ukraine.
Whoa.
He was in a wreck, and his insurance company totaled his 2014 Jetta instead of fixing it. But a 28-year-old guy in Ukraine bought it online for $2,000, had it shipped over, fixed it up, and used it to evacuate his family and two kids.
Wow.
He got in touch with the original owner after finding his name on something in the glove box.
Huh? That's crazy. That's
the amount of scenario things that have to go into place for that to happen.
So it was cheaper to import a wrecked car and fix it than, wow.
That's
wow.
That's noteworthy in itself.
Uh-huh.
Among all the good feelings that you get from all this other stuff, that tells you a lot right there, too. That's incredible, though. That really is an interesting story.
That guy had to... That would have blown you away. Like, just coming out of left field. My car what? Went where?
I didn't even know how I'd respond to something like that.
No.
I didn't know what I would say or anything. That's just really cool. It's very impressive. And you are the good story. You guys out there, our listeners, the best listeners in radio, we greatly appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Mel, a lot of fun hanging out.
Yeah, you too, James.
Stick around. We got Morning Magazine coming up. In part one, we're going to talk to Dan Minter, president over at Assumption Catholic Schools. And in part two, we'll have Larry and Pastor Milt and Jan joining us from Love, Inc. We're going to catch up with them, talk a little bit about the special concert they got coming up and all kinds of stuff. Plenty more coming up for you. Meet us back here for more morning, the morning show for tomorrow, starting at 7 to 9. We'll be here. 7 to 10. We'll be here with you.
All right.
On the morning, well, you know, I'm sorry. Heather, you go right ahead. You do a much better job.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.